Pam Larry discovered something that bothered her. When she went looking to see if the food she was eating had genetically modified products in it, it wasn't on the label.
I didn't understand why nobody was talking about these things and why they weren't labeled.
So she started thinking, if the manufacturers have such a wonderful product, why are they hiding it from us?
It almost seemed like a joint effort to hide from people what was in their food. We label water. We label if things are made in a factory with peanuts and wheat. Why is it so important to them to hide what's in our food?
And of course, as consumers, we assume that anything we eat has been put to some sort of test, some sort of research.
There have been no long-term human studies on these, not one.
Pam Larry got busy, and that Right to Know initiative to have genetically modified products labeled has qualified for the ballot for November. In fact, it got twice as many signatures as are required. Join me, your host, Daniel Kirbine, as I interview Pam Larry, the chief rabble-rouser and instigator of the Labeled GMOs initiative. I'm Shift Shapers, Whole Reversal Radio from 4 to 5 p.m. this Wednesday. And in the second hour, 5 to 6 p.m., your host will be Ricardo Quiroga on the same subject, bilingual Shift Shapers and Formadores de Cambio, here on KBBF.
Welcome
FM
to Shift Shapers, Whole Reversal Radio. I am your host, Daniel Kirbine.
We are definitely, as announced, talking to Pam Larry. That is coming up in the second half hour of this first hour. So here's what we're going to do for the first half hour, because it's very important, I think, and others have noted this, that we got to have a little bit of basic groundwork on what is a genetically modified this or a genetically modified that, what's the problem with the foods, and then start taking a look at what Pam Larry has to say about the labeling issue, because the labeling issue is something where you can start taking action as soon as it comes onto the ballot, also to help out with the campaign. Meanwhile, I have a couple of things here, some information from Mike Adams, who calls himself the Health Ranger, on naturalnews.com. He's got a little song here we're going to play called Say No to GMO, and some commentary actually from and this is another thing that's really terrific, is we have some commentary from Jeffrey Smith, who is with the Institute for Responsible Technology. And he's incredibly energetic. He's a scientist. He gets around. He's a speaker. In the second hour, Ricardo Quiroga will be interviewing Annette Aguilar, who is also with the Institute for Responsible Technology. And she is also, like Jeffrey Smith, part of their speakers bureau, except that the speaking that she will be doing will be in Spanish with Ricardo Quiroga in the second hour. That will be from the 5 to 6 p.m. time. So if you must hear this in Spanish, tune in. Be sure you tune in by 5 here on KBBF 89.1. So what we're going to do is play a little bit of this little tune from, it's all about genetically modified food. If you want to get a little bit of basics on why people are so hopping mad about this and why they're really concerned with it, we can start here with this one. It's Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and it is a song called Say No GMO. So he's got basically an opinion about this. And we'll also play a longer piece, which is from naturalnews.com, of which Mike Adams is also the host, in which he explains an article that came out in the Atlantic magazine about genetically modified organisms and the danger to our health, that according to Alternet and Atlantic Monthly, there is a very clear danger that these things pose, and he will explain what that is.
And they found that the genes that were inserted into soybeans transmitted to the DNA of the bacteria living inside us, and certain varieties of genetically modified corn are engineered to produce an insecticide.
I'm looking at the food that's in the grocery store. They say it's safe, everybody eat more. Second thought, I don't really know if it's made with those GMOs. So I'm looking for the non-GMO label. Before I bring it home, I'll put it on the table. I want to know if it's verified so I don't harm myself with genetically modified.
They don't want you to know.
Poison to grow.
Profit
to show. From the GMOs.
I want gene mutation at my dinner reservation. It's a food abomination. What they're doing to this vaccination? They take artificial gene combinations, inject it in seed variations so they can grow their frankenfood imitations. While the side effects
cause medical patients. Keep the profits alive while they're spraying all the food with name brand herbicides. And all the while they're spreading their lies, Monsanto destroy a farmer's life. And the FDA just keeps it all going, saying it's safe even though they all know it's just poison, stealing away your life. And that's what you eat, genetically modified. They don't want you to know. Poison they show. Profits they show.
If you don't believe me, listen to Jeffrey Smith. He's a man with a plan, gonna do what he can to help us all get those GMOs banned. But we need you to lend a hand, take a stand against this food scam. It's a mission for the health condition worldwide, cause we don't wanna live genetically modified.
Living in silence.
Living in silence. Let you know what's in it. Don't believe the propaganda, the press will spin it. Affects everybody, we all are feeling. Stand up to Monsanto, tell him, oh no, you didn't. Reject breaking foods in the store. Demand on us labels so we can be informed. We have a natural right to know what we're buying. Just say no to GMO before our farms start dying.
Just say no to GMO.
Corporate crooks are lying.
Just say no to GMO.
This time we're not complying.
Just say no to GMO.
Just not buying.
Just say no to GMO.
No testing episode. No testing episode.
No testing necessary. No testing necessary. No testing necessary. Why is that? Is anybody asking that? Hey, we're taking it into our bodies. It's something brand new. Hasn't been done before, folks. No testing necessary? What? What? Huh? Got a little thing here. This is, in fact, Jeffrey Smith is referred to in that song, Say No to GMOs. Mike Adams seems to be a fan of Jeffrey Smith, and I have, these are excerpts from four very brief videos. In fact, they're two-minute videos on YouTube by Jeffrey Smith, S-M-I-T-H, right? And you can find it on YouTube. Look for the Institute for Responsible Technology. That is responsibletechnology.org. And we're going to have a lot of input from them today. So here's what Jeffrey Smith has to say. Pay close attention to this because it has to do with your body and it has to do with your stomach. And it has to do, well, you're going to find out what it has to do. It has to do with babies and mothers, too. So pay close attention.
I was sitting with a farmer in northwestern Iowa, which is where I'm from. And he told me that he was growing genetically modified corn side by side with non-genetically modified corn. And then decided to do an experiment. He took a trough and put the GM corn on one side and the non-GM on another. And then all of his cows into the pen. And they all huddled around the non-GM side and wouldn't eat the genetically modified side. So he started telling other farmers about it, and they started doing their experiment, letting cows into a pen two or three at a time. And this time they had completely separate troughs, GM and non-GM. They'd go up to the first one, and they'd taste it or smell it, but then they'd stop, and they'd walk around it and go to the non-GM trough, eat all the corn there, and then go back to the first trough and taste it and then walk away. So animals, when given a choice, often choose non-genetically modified foods. You may not know it, but you eat genetically modified ingredients in almost every meal. We don't have the sixth sense of the animals to avoid GMOs naturally. We don't have the labeling of GMOs, which is enjoyed by Europeans, Australians, Japanese, most of the rest of the world label GMOs, but we don't. Why is it put on the market without labeling? Because the policy at the FDA claimed that they were unaware of any information showing that GMOs were significantly different. But years later, thousands of secret memos were made public from the FDA's files, and it showed that that policy was a lie. But the person in charge of policy was Monsanto's former attorney, later Monsanto's vice president. Here's the great news. We have the power. In Europe, they kicked out GMOs. When a small percentage of the shoppers said, we don't want to eat GMOs, within a single week, virtually every major food company said, we're not going to use GM ingredients anymore in Europe. But those same companies use GMOs in the United States. where most people haven't raised a fuss. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to raise a fuss. We're going to share this video with everyone we care about and let them know they've been eating genetically modified foods and that they don't have to. They can go to the non-GMOshoppingguide.com, non-GMOshoppingguide.com, or download in their iPhone, Shop No GMO. And that lists the non-GMO brands and makes it easy to shop for non-GM foods at the supermarket. So it's time to tell our friends. It's time to reclaim a healthier non-GMO food supply. Safe eating.
But wait, there's more.
You want to have a kid. You have to think about what do you need to do to bring in a healthy child. When it's time to get pregnant and to be pregnant, then you really have to pay attention, because little changes in what you consume might have big impacts on your baby. Here's something you may not have considered. Genetically engineered foods. Most people are unaware that genetically modified foods are already in their diet. Genetically modified foods are foods where genes are taken from one species and forced into the DNA of another species. The American Academy of Environmental Medicine said in 2009, every doctor should prescribe non-GMO diets to every patient, citing animal feeding studies and the problems that followed. Mice fed genetically modified corn had fewer babies and smaller babies. Mice fed genetically modified soy had changes in the testicles, including damage to the young sperm cells, and changes in the way that the DNA functioned in their embryo offspring. When rats were fed genetically modified soy, more than half of the babies died within 3 weeks, compared to only a 10% death rate when the mothers were fed non-genetically modified soy. In fact, when the facility switched to genetically modified soy for all of the rats there, the infant mortality rate skyrocketed to over 55%. We don't want our babies to become the guinea pigs of this genetically engineered food experiment. Go to non-GMOshoppingguide.com and learn which products are genetically engineered and which are not. And choose healthier non-GMO foods for yourself and your newborn.
That was the second one. Dr. Smith has a third and a fourth one you can share with us.
There are two major traits that have been genetically engineered. There's the poison drinkers and the poison producers. The poison drinkers are crops that are engineered not to die when sprayed with a normal deadly herbicide. Now, there's only been one human feeding study ever published on GMOs. It was done with the soybean. And they found that part of the gene is inserted into the soy to make that soybean Roundup ready, so it won't die when sprayed with Roundup herbicide. That gene actually transferred into the DNA of the bacteria living inside our intestines and continued to function. These folks had Roundup ready gut bacteria. So that means long after we stop eating this genetically modified soy, we may still have these genetically modified proteins produced continuously inside of us. There's also the pesticide producers. They're called BT because the pesticide that they produce comes from a soil bacterium called BT, or Bacillus thuringiensis. Peer-reviewed published studies show that when the BT spray was sprayed over Washington State and Vancouver to kill gypsy moths, about 500 people reported allergy and flu-like symptoms. So what did the genetic engineers do? They took the gene that produces the toxin and they put it into the corn and cotton plants, where it produces this BT toxin at thousands of times the concentration as the spray form. Although it's never been studied, what happens if the gene that produces the BT toxin transfers to the bacteria living inside your intestine, like it happened with the soy? If that happens, it might turn our intestinal bacteria into living pesticide factories, continuously producing this BT toxin inside of our intestines. What I say is, let's not be part of this dangerous experiment. Let's be careful to avoid eating the genetically modified foods, especially for our children who are most sensitive. Go to non-GMOshoppingguide.com for a list of non-genetically modified foods, or download the iPhone application Shop No GMO. Then you can be sure to avoid this dangerous experimental food. Safe eating. In the world of genetically modified foods, there's two types of science: corporate science and independent science. Corporate science is science in the corporate interest, not in the consumer interest. Monsanto tells us, trust us, we're experts, our GM foods are safe. This is the same company that told us PCBs were safe, Agent Orange was safe, DDT was safe. And now they're telling us that our genetically modified foods are safe. And how they do it is amazing. For example, when they wanted to say that pasteurization destroys the bovine growth hormone in the milk, scientists, pasteurized the milk 120 times longer than normal. When Monsanto wanted to say that their genetically modified soy was substantially equivalent to non-GM soy, they left key data out of their study, which showed that their GM soy had as much as 7 times the amount of a known allergen. Here's my favorite. When Monsanto was trying to introduce their genetically modified high lysine corn, they said that this new protein has a history of safe use in the food supply, so it's safe. Because this protein is naturally found in soil, and we obviously eat soil and the residues on fruits and vegetables. So a scientist called their bluff and figured out how much corn an average male American would eat and how much of that protein he would be eating. And then calculated how much soil he'd have to eat. Someone would have to eat 22,000 pounds of soil every second, 24 hours a day. These guys have bad science down to a science. It's ridiculous, ridiculous. They used the wrong control group, the wrong statistical method, the wrong detection method. Here's the point. We can't trust the same scientists that told us that PCBs were safe, that DDT was safe, that Agent Orange was safe. We need to look at independent studies by independent scientists that aren't trying to prove a point. And they're finding that GMOs are quite unsafe. So, ignore the corporate science, look to the independent scientists, and choose non-GMO foods.
Okay, folks, so we're going to review a little bit of what Dr. Jeffrey Smith had to say there. We're going to just review it one more time very quickly. The first thing was that the cows and animals know the difference between the genetically modified corn and the corn that's not genetically modified, and they avoid the genetically modified corn. In the second video, and this is, by the way, from the Institute for Responsible Technology. That's responsibletechnology.org. The second one is, don't experiment with your baby. And it's all about how rats that were tested with GMOs had these terrible results and a lot of infant death with their infantile rats. Also, it's called the double dipping danger. Almost all of the genetic modifications to crops, to things that are put out to grow and for us to eat and for animals to eat, have two purposes, and they both have to do with poisoning. They're called poison drinkers and poison producers. The poison producers are things like the BT corn, the kind that where they took a gene from a bacteria that kills insects and injected it into the cells, in the seeds of corn, to call it BT corn. So that is a poison producer, and it produces and continues to produce that poison when you've eaten it. The others are poison drinkers, and those are called the Roundup resistant, Roundup ready type of genetic modified seeds. There's a new alfalfa one, there's Roundup ready soybeans, Roundup ready canola for the canola oil. And so they continue to, the science has shown that when you take those into your body, that genetic cellular level changes that have been undertaken with these organisms starts to affect your organism. So there's two types of science. One is that which is paid for by the corporations, and that Monsanto is the company that told us historically for over 50, 60 years, first of all, the PCBs are safe. All their research said PCBs are safe. No problem, no problem. And we are paying a huge price in cancer for PCBs. Huge price. DDT was safe. Hey, Lake County, up in Lake County, Clear Lake, California, was a dead lake. They had a lot of trouble getting life to come back to that lake because of DDT. It not only killed the bugs, it killed all the birds, killed all the fish. Everything that the fish and the birds lived off of happened to be bugs. DDT killed that, and it also they had trouble bringing back the fish and bringing back the birds because the DDT messed up with their eggs and their infantile offspring. Oh, it's safe. We've researched it. Don't worry. Let's release it out on the planet. Agent Orange, which was an herbicide used in Vietnam, there is a weaker version of that out now. Guess what it's called? It's called Roundup. It has the same ingredients, slightly altered from what Agent Orange had. And they said, oh, that's safe. We'll use it. We'll spray it all over our troops while they're going through the jungles, and it'll destroy the jungle and not affect anybody. The birth defects and the cancers and all the horrible diseases that literally they poisoned our troops in Vietnam. Oh, no, everything's fine. It's the same company, Monsanto, has produced this genetically modified creature that is now out to take over our food supply. So we're coming on to the food ranger here, who has some ideas here of his own. And he has some science to back it up, which appeared in Alternet and in the Atlantic Monthly magazines. It's how GMOs alter our gene functions. And after he gets done with this, then we will put on the interview with Pam Larry. And I'll tell you something, the subject matter will seem tame by the time we get to Pam, because she didn't want to go into the science in the interview. She just wants to talk about the labeling and our right to know. So you may want to know. Who knows? You know, like I found after hearing all this that's what I wanted. I wanted to know. I wanted to know more. I wanted to have the label. So, well, let's just see. There are a number of issues going on with this.
All right. Welcome to the Health Ranger Report. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, reporting for naturalnews.com. Today we have some new information, breaking news. From a medical journal called Cell Research, this is news about the dangers of genetically modified foods. And this is new information. This shows the mechanism by which genetically modified foods, or GM foods, or GE foods, genetically engineered, may alter your organ function. You see, in the past, Monsanto has said that genetically modified seeds and foods are presumed to be safe, presumed safe. It doesn't mean they're proven safe. In fact, right here from the Monsanto website, a couple of quotes you need to know. Here it is. Monsanto says, quote, there is no need to test the safety of DNA introduced into genetically modified crops. And they go on to say, there is no need for or value in testing the safety of GM foods in humans. So you see, Monsanto has a position that they don't even need to test the safety of these genetically modified foods because it doesn't even matter. But now, here in Cell Research, we have a new study called the Exogenous Plant MIR16A. That is a microRNA study that we're talking about here. Specifically targets mammalian LDLRAP1. That's a receptor for LDL cholesterol function in the liver. Evidence of cross-kingdom regulation by microRNA. Now, it means that microRNA, which is information, it is genetic information, has now been found to pass from the foods through digestion into your blood and then to attach onto your organs. You got that? It goes from the food through digestion into your blood and attaches onto your organs, and there it modifies the function and the expression of those organs. This is groundbreaking science. This nullifies the safety claims of Monsanto. And it means that we are more than just the vitamins and minerals and fiber and carbohydrates and proteins that we eat. It means we are also eating information. You got that? We're eating information because DNA and RNA is information. So when we're eating this microRNA, it's surviving that process and then providing information to the cells and the organs in our body. Maybe this is why GMOs are causing such widespread infertility, because the microRNA is attaching to the receptor sites of the fertility organs and altering the expression or the function of those fertility organs. Let me read you some more from the study because it's quite fascinating. The abstract says, quote, here we report the surprising findings that exogenous plant microRNAs are present in the sera, that means the blood serum, and tissues of various animals, and that these exogenous plant microRNAs are primarily acquired orally through food intake. That, again, is breaking science. It changes everything. You see, you already know you are what you eat. And normally that means you are the vitamins and the minerals and the other nutrients that you consume. We know that that's true on a physical level or even a biochemical level. But what about the information that you eat? Are you also the information? The answer is yes. And this is, again, a whole new realm of science. When a predator consumes prey, there is a predator/prey relationship where there is a transfer of information from the prey to the predator. So back in American Indian lore, when the American Indians would kill and consume a buffalo, they would say that in some sense you become, or that buffalo becomes part of you, or a part of you becomes the buffalo. you and that animal or the plant that you consume become one. What we're finding now with the study is that is genetically a true statement at some interesting level. It's not just metaphor. It's actually biochemically true that you become, in a small way, but a very true way, part of what you consume. What happens when you consume plants that have been altered, artificially concocted in a laboratory by profit-driven scientists working for the most evil corporation in the world? You get information that's bad information. It's not natural information. It is frankenfood information. And when you consume that, that information goes into your body and then begins to program your organs and your cells and your tissues to behave in a way that is artificial, that is not natural, that is Frankensteinian in its effect, in essence. That's what we're seeing with genetically modified foods. That's why this is a big deal. Let me read you some more quotes from this particular study. It says that this MIR-168A could bind to the human mouse low-density lipoprotein receptor, that's the LDL cholesterol receptors, adapter protein, inhibit LDLRAP1 expression in the liver. Again, this is altering your liver function in terms of regulating cholesterol, and consequently decrease LDL removal from mouse plasma. What that means is that you would have high LDL levels in your blood. These findings demonstrate that exogenous plant microRNA in food can regulate the expression of target genes in mammals. You got that? If you truly understand what's being said here, your jaw should be dropping to the floor. It's that big of a deal. This is huge. It means that, again, eating these genetically modified foods and crops can alter the expression of your organs. MicroRNAs have been widely shown to modulate various critical biological processes, including differentiation, that's cell specialization, apoptosis, which is part of the cancer prevention process in normal human cell metabolism, proliferation, the immune response, and the maintenance of cell and tissue identity. Now, that's another crucial statement. What do you get when your cell doesn't remember what identity it's supposed to express? You get a DNA mutation that results in the formation of a cancer cell that goes on to become a cancer tumor.
That is Mike Adams, who is the Food Ranger. That is the name that he gives himself. And it is on naturalnews.com is where he's located. Very opinionated about the issue. There's another piece to this particular podcast that he put together, which is a study, and I have it up on the computer in front of me right here. It is a study that appeared first in Alternet, but also in The Atlantic, which is a national-level, world-level magazine. It has a print version and an internet version, where it talks about this microRNA, which is part of the genetics of organisms, is that small pieces of the RNA in the blood and organs of humans who eat rice, particularly genetically modified, is that there are alternations. They found small pieces of the RNA from the rice in the blood and organs of humans who eat it. And it's now microRNA, due to its small size, has been studied. It's been implicated in many diseases such as cancer, Alzheimer's, and diabetes. They usually function by turning down or shutting down certain genes. Chinese research provides the first example in vivo in a human being alive of ingested plant RNA surviving digestion and influencing the human cell function. So it's just like what Dr. Jeff Smith was saying. If you are eating this stuff and it's got these biotoxins in it to kill bugs, it's still killing bugs in your stomach. Monsanto's website says there is no need for or value, this is a quote, no need for or value in testing the safety of GM foods in humans. That's the end of quote. This viewpoint, says Atlantic, while good for business, is built on an understanding of genetics circa, that means around the era of 1960. It follows what's called the central dogma of genetics, which postulates a one-way chain of command between DNA and the cells, that it doesn't affect the cells, you've only affected the organism. So now we're going to hear an interview with Pam Larry. A little bit of music first, and we'll fade from the music into the interview.
Can be hard to find, and I know that not everyone one is into this as I am, but hopefully once in a while you're buying from organic stores. So sure it may cost just a bit more, but it's all for the future of the world and the farms we need. What do you think your children are gonna eat when all the food is owned by one company? Once they patented every single seed, I'm not making this up.
No, he's not.
You can look this stuff up.
Yes, you can.
But don't pull out your smartphone so soon.
Hold up.
Can't you wait till the end of the tune? All the seeds are modified genetically. It'd be nice if we tested them for safety before we start ingesting them twice daily. But this doesn't seem to be a priority. Yet I see the seeds of disease getting deeper and creeping above my knees.
For joining us on Shift Shapers, Pole Reversal Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Kirbine, and I have on the phone with me Pam Larry, who is the self-described initial instigator of the initiative to get food labeled. She also has the official title of Rabble Rouser, the chief rabble rouser for the initiative to label GMOs. And we were talking about GMOs. We're going to get into some more detail about what they are, but it's genetically modified organisms that show up in our food, in livestock food. They show up, in fact, they're so widespread that they show up pretty much everywhere, and hence, let's get them labeled. So, Pam Larry, thank you so much for joining us here on Shift Shapers.
You bet. Thanks for having me on and helping me spread the word about this very exciting ballot initiative that's going on that began as a grassroots movement and has grown phenomenally.
Well, I think some congratulations are in order, because my understanding is that when you put an initiative on the ballot in California, you got to have something like at least 500,000 signatures. You can correct me on the figures, but if I understand correctly, you got twice as many as were needed. Something like close to 1 million signatures is what I've heard bandied about. So really good results, and some congratulations are in order, huh?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, we got about 75% more, so not double, but about 75% more than what we needed, in good part because we had such an amazing volunteer force out there also. Most ballot initiatives in California, you use paid folks.
Yes.
We did use some, but we had a really strong volunteer effort. And we got all those signatures in just 10 weeks.
In 10 weeks, you know. So what is it that motivated you to, how did this whole thing get started to have a ballot initiative to label GMOs? Was it something that just came up for you and you just decided you were going to be the standard bearer for it? Or
yes.
Okay. That's really something.
So what happened was I've been interested in whole foods and, you know, organic foods and real food. And I used to be a farmer. I've been interested in health for my whole life. And these things started coming on my radar, genetically engineered ingredients started coming on my radar probably about 8 years ago. And, you know, just like everybody else, I just kind of thought they were like hybrids on steroids, which couldn't be further from the truth. So I didn't give them much mind until I started to learn more and more. And I started to become very concerned, primarily because I didn't understand why nobody was talking about these things and why they weren't labeled. I am a firm believer in our right to know and our right towards the transparent market. I am a capitalist in many ways, but I do believe it in the purest sort of sense, which is that the market must be pure in order to flow like it's supposed to. So I started to really question why these things were being it almost seemed like a joint effort between government and business to hide from people what was in their food.
Yeah, and what is it that they're trying to hide, too? That sort of comes up right away as a question.
Yeah, why would they want to hide this? And why are we being told by pretty much everybody that we can expect our opposition to spend anywhere between $40 and $100 million on this? Why is it so important to them to hide what's in our food? We label water. We label where things come from. We label everything that's in there, and yet we don't label the fact that our, you know, we label if things are made in a factory with peanuts and wheat. Why aren't we labeling these things when there have been no long-term human studies on these? Not one. I don't talk about the science too much because what I've come to realize is that it's kind of like two religions. You know, on the one hand, you have one religion with its set of doctrines, and on the other hand, you've got another, and both look at each other and say, well, yours is incorrect, mine is right. And so there's really nowhere to go with that. But nobody can argue that there have been no long-term human studies on these things. And I look around at us, and I hear in the media all sorts of things about how we're this and we're that, and we're obese and diabetes and we're unhealthy and blah, 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 and we don't know where it's coming from. And I'm not saying that necessarily that it's coming from this, but that rise has happened concurrently as we've had more genetically engineered stuff in our food. And I'm saying, I don't know about everybody else, but I don't want to be the experiment. I would rather have a long-term experiment going, you know, having gone on without involving my children and grandchildren. So there have been numerous attempts in legislative efforts for the past 12 to 15 years in both state and federal level and agency level, and nothing changes. And so I decided on January 20th of 2011 that it was time for the people of California to invoke the right that we have, which is to stand up and take matters into our own hands. And so I just started. I just started on the road, and I'm right now in a small town in Southern California called Lancaster. I'm going to be having a meeting. I've been on the road basically ever since March of last year, traveling around the state, building the grassroots movement, and that's kind of how it happened.
It really is a grassroots movement to be able to get that many signatures, to be able to get twice the signatures that are required to qualify for the ballot. There must be a great deal of interest in having this come about. That's the only thing, really, when it's grassroots interest versus money, then that's really the only thing that will countervail and be a counterweight to the amount of money that you're hearing about
right.
These companies
well,
like Monsanto
you know,
are going to spend.
Poll after poll after poll since the 90s have shown that 90%, when people are given a definition of what genetic engineering is, that it's not about hybrids, that it's not just selective breeding, that it actually is a process by which it takes place in a laboratory where they extract the DNA from one plant animal species or another, and then they insert it in a laboratory into another plant animal and species for a desired trait. They want it labeled. 90% plus every single time there's a poll. Now, there might be a poll or two out that shows a different number, but when you look at the questions, you see that they didn't really explain what they were talking about. They were talking about hybrids, and, you know, everybody knows about hybrids, which just happened in nature.
Yeah.
But this
yeah.
cannot happen in nature.
Yeah. Like Luther Burbank developed all these plants, and he did a bunch of hybridization, and so he got...
Not the same thing. Just not the same thing. Yeah.
These are not Shasta daisies.
No.
And...
The daisies.
And
these are not, you know, big boy tomatoes. You know, these are, you take a trait from a bacterium and you insert it into corn so that when bugs eat the corn, the bug dies, the corn has to be registered as a pesticide, and then it's, you know, because it is a pesticide, and then we feed it to the pigs and we put it in our corn chips and we put it in our cereal and all sorts of good stuff. So, different. It's different.
Welcome to my stomach. So now I understand why you, as a consumer, a citizen, and a voter, want to be going forward with this. Is this something where have you been active with voter initiatives in the past? Is this
no, never done anything like this before. And I'm going to tell you also, I hear this all over the state. People are coming out of the woodwork who have never done anything political in their lives. They have no clue what they're doing. They require a lot of hand-holding, but they are so eager to work because this is so important to them.
Yes, that's exactly what it takes. Wow, that's how you got all the signatures that you did.
Not all. Like I told you, we had volunteers, but we also had paid.
They were also
paid. We only
paid.
Had 10 weeks to gather, you know, 560,000 signatures, which we almost doubled, like you said, 75% more. But you have to have that kind of a concerted push also with paid. Now, the good news is that it started with grassroots, but there's no way that we can win this without the help of professionals and money because we need help. We've never done this before. So we are now blessed with a team of professionals that are behind us, very conscious, very committed businesses that have invested money with, you know, you can't write these donations off. And these people get nothing in return out of this. They are doing this because they believe in this also, because they have a strong inner moral, ethical conviction that consumers have a right to know what they're buying and what they're feeding their children and themselves.
Well, just think about it. You know, if a store that has whole organic food, or say they advertise that they have healthy food, and people come in there and they know that genetically modified seeds and corn and things like that are not being identified in the foods, and even the store owner doesn't know if it's in there, look at the dilemma they have. They have a dilemma.
Well, it's just, it's unethical. It's unethical to base your business model on, you know, having to withhold information about what you're doing.
Yes.
You know, I mean, when you look at that business paradigm, I'm just calling it as it is, unethical. There should be transparency in our market. And not only here, but in a lot of places, but this is just one piece. A lot of people say, well, why would you want to label? Well, because we want to know a lot of things. We want to know when pink slime is in our food. We want to know when there's high fructose corn syrup in our food.
Right.
We want to know when there's all sorts of different kinds of things, peanuts, if somebody has an allergy, or where our food comes from. A lot of people say, well, if you label, that implies there's something wrong with it. Well, no, that doesn't imply there's something wrong with it. We wanted to know when something comes from Italy or when something comes from wherever. It's just, it's another piece of information that we believe we have a right to know about.
Well, I'm going to pull a little piece of information from the lexicon of the GMO movement. It was a lecture entitled "You're Eating What?" by someone named Jeffrey Smith. And one of the things that he noted in the history of genetic modification, there actually is a genetic modification that killed people. And it was L-tryptophan. The original product that was put on the market in the 1980s was a genetically modified version of the L-tryptophan that actually is naturally produced, you know, when, like when people eat turkey and they get sleepy. It was produced through genetic modification, and that's why people, there were some deaths involved, and that's why. So if we want to say, well, okay, everything's fine, go ahead and genetically modify everything and don't tell me, then go ahead and live in that world. But if I hear you correctly, you're saying, no, I want to make the choice.
Exactly. I want to make a choice. And, you know, for people that are, it's okay for them, they don't care. And there are a lot of people out there that they don't care. Well, that's fine. No one's telling them that they can or can't eat these things. No one's telling them. One of the things we say, well, if you like genetically engineered foods, then you'll be able to find them even more easily because they will be labeled. You know, be proud. Advertise the fact. And in fact, the first genetically engineered food was labeled because they were so excited about it. It was called the Flavor Saver Tomato. And they touted it as a great thing. But unfortunately, not everybody wants to eat those things. And eventually, they were taken off the market because they just people didn't buy them.
You throw it in the compost and it won't even rot. Modified not to. Yeah, it was a big debacle. And most of what is, now, my understanding, now I'm not a scientist, but I have had some exposure to the issue of genetic modified foods, but my understanding of it is that we hear about the Green Revolution, we hear about how genetic modification is going to be this key to increasing yields, and all I've seen and all pretty much anybody has seen so far is they are putting pesticides in it. It's something that's going to make it resistant to Roundup. It's all about pesticides and herbicides. It's all in that world. It's really not in the world of we're going to make this thing really nourishing. We're going to make this thing better for you. It's not in that world at all.
Right. Well, you'll see one of the new genetically engineered rice that is supposed to have extra vitamin A for the starving people in all the places where they eat a lot of rice. But what they forget to tell you, and then you'll hear people in biotech saying, well, you're hurting children. You're killing children. I hope you can live with yourself. But what they forget to tell you is that in order for that vitamin A to be absorbed in the, from that rice, you have to have a lot of protein, and everybody knows that those areas don't have a lot of protein, number one. Number two, they could be eating greens instead of rice and get just as much, if not more, vitamin A. So anyway, it's generally speaking, I don't like to go into those kinds of topics because they really have nothing to do with our initiative.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you people say, well, what about feeding the world? Well, I can point you to ISTAT reports and reports by the UC Davis and the UN that show, the internationally recognized reports that show that this is not the wave of the future, that there is no way that we can sustain this sort of agriculture. But none of that matters. Because
yeah.
I have to ask the question, what does feeding the world have to do with labels in California? It has nothing to do with it. People, this is what happens. The opposition takes arguments that have nothing to do with labeling because they have a vested interest in their profit line, and they twist it so that people get this gut reaction and they don't think about what they're being, what's being happened. Why is it, if their products are so wonderful, that we can't know them here in this country, and how would a label here affect feeding the world? It's a different subject.
And
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And we could actually just explore that, because one of the areas when you talk about corn syrup, let's say that you're looking at high fructose corn syrup. It comes from corn, and there's a plethora of corn. So let's say genetically modified corn is very likely to be in things like Coca-Cola, it's, you know, soft drinks. These labels could be on many, many things where they weren't before.
Right.
The
mm-hmm.
chips that you buy, anything yes. that has corn in it, which is a lot of things.
Yes, it is.
Even non-organic popcorn. And
exactly. Yep.
And one of the things that one argument, it wasn't really, I wouldn't call it an argument, but one rather lame thing that I heard, in my opinion, it was lame, that, oh, well, you don't need to label, because if all you do is buy organic, then you don't need a label to say it isn't genetically modified. And
okay, so let's talk about that just real briefly.
Yeah,
you know,
please.
First of all, organic and non-GMO are two different things, but that question, again, is twisting the subject. That implies that people that don't eat organic food shouldn't have a right to know what's in their food.
It does,
okay?
Doesn't it? It does.
And we're saying people have a right to know what's in all of the food they buy, all of it, whether they eat organic or not, all right? Number two, we still have, the truth is, the vast majority of foods still do not have genetically engineered things in them. It's only when you start buying the processed foods, the prepared foods, the this and the that,
mm-hmm.
that you run into it. And we're on the horizon are a lot of applications for deregulation of a lot of things that aren't processed, okay? So still, it's just cottonseed, which we hardly ever have in any food, soy, mm-hmm. canola, sugar beets, corn, papaya from Hawaii, zucchini, crookneck squash, and alfalfa now. And now this year, sweet corn. So it's really very few items that are out there. It's just when you get in the middle aisles in the grocery store that all of the corn and the soy and the canola stuff starts to come into play.
Right.
But like I said, getting back into the basic thing of everybody has a right to know what's in their food, not just organic foods.
And so what do you look forward to here in this, the landscape of a political campaign, really? There's between now and November, and you never know what's going to happen. You certainly never know
nope.
what the opposition is going to come up with.
Nope.
But how do you see the landscape as far as what's becoming available? What sort of numbers are you finding that as far as people that want to support the campaign? Is there, do you have a website where you're able to have people volunteer or give themselves things to do that are helping out with the campaign?
Yes. So when we started the grassroots movement, we called ourselves labelgmos.org. And now that we're big and all grown up with a whole bunch of other organizations on board, we've got, you know, the Institute for, you know, Jeffrey Smith, you mentioned him, Institute for Responsible Technology, Food Democracy Now, Organic Consumer Association, and then some very conscious businesses have all come together. We've kind of shifted over to California Right to Know, because there's actually a national movement going on right now, and they're all like Vermont Right to Know, Connecticut Right to Know. So we're California Right to Know. And so it's CaliforniaRightToKnow.org, and that's C-A Right to Know, and not the number two. It's spelled out CaliforniaRightToKnow.org. People can go there, and they can volunteer, and they can find out what we're up to, and they can learn about GMOs in the news and all sorts of stuff, and keep going back. We had the website up for a while, and it wasn't really looked at a whole lot until we got on the ballot. I mean, until we got the petition sanded in. Sorry, we're not on the ballot officially yet. But now that we're confident we're going to be on the ballot, there we'll be updating and changing the website often, so go back and watch it. Yeah.
Will people be able to, for instance, set up house parties or different film showings where...
You bet.
Okay.
So one of the things that I'm running around and doing is revitalizing the group. So what I did last year was I created a network of local groups, and all those local groups have leaders. To get directly hooked into those, it's actually best to email me directly. And that would be, my name is Pam Larry, so it would be P Larry, L-A-R-R-Y, just like the guy's name, at labelgmos.org. And I can hook you up with your local leader really quickly, and you can get involved with the different things we're doing on the ground. And we're doing those things. We're having house parties. We're showing films. We're reaching out at festivals. We're doing all sorts of fun stuff.
Yes, actually, having staging festivals that are complete fundraisers and benefits would probably be a cool thing.
Uh-huh. There's all sorts of stuff we're doing. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And come to one of our meetings. Yeah.
Certainly. So I want to thank you again, Pam Larry, who is the initial instigator of the initiative to get our food labeled, and also the chief rabble-rouser of a California-wide campaign. It looks like it's involving other states and under the Right to Know. But we're mainly focusing on California here because that's where this initiative is. So, Pam Larry, thank you for joining us on Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. And I would like to give you one more opportunity to, number one, shout out that website address for people who want to find out ways to donate and get involved, and also then your email address for people if they want to take a further leap and actually start organizing groups on their own.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Certainly.
The website is California Right to Know. That's carighttoknow.org. You can go there and get hooked into the campaign, and then if you want to get on busy on a local level, please contact me directly at P, because my name is Pam Larry, P-L-A-R-R-Y, at labelgmos, with an S, .org. I'm looking forward to working with you, and I'll see you out in the streets.
Absolutely. And keep on instigating, okay?
You bet, and rousing.
Thank
bye.
You. Yes, bye-bye.
Where will you be when the shift hits the fan? When that old reliable semi-truck known as the fossil fuel economy breaks down and leaves us with an empty shopping bag? When the friendly skies hit us with a train wreck of sudden, random climate events? What if we look squarely into the eyes of the monster that our economy of nonstop consumption and waste has created? The shift has already started. On Shift Shapers, we talk to authors, thinkers, and scientists about climate shock and fuel shock and resource dilemmas. We also bring in advice on preparing for an unpredictable future, which could mean preparing for anything. You can visit our podcast and listen to archived interviews at www.blogtalkradio.com/shiftshapers. Check out our blog at shiftshaper.blogspot.com. You can also connect with us by email at shiftshapers@gmail.com.
had the last word, I'd warn you of all the hazards. But these fat cats are mastered, getting lost past faster. Before the evidence explored and not after. So science stays hidden and we're given a disaster. But if enough folks can uncover this hoax, we might be able to expose the dangers of GMOs. And who knows, if we reverse the flow of the trend, it might send them a message, help it come to an end. So help us all out and read about this stuff, and we might just stand a chance to stand up to the man. Where we can all raise our hands and demand some answers. And when we call them bluff enough, they will be peeing in their pants too. Cause not one study proves this stuff safe, and it pains me to face the fact that we won't be able to trace anything back, because the labels will lack the facts. It's not actually what it claims to be, or might taste the same to the layman. You see, don't you dare say amen for what you will partake in, or thank God for the blessing, because the mess with you is made in a laboratory by a human, your dinner fate, man. From the money, fattening up the wallets, from the processed foodaholics, prophecies I'm speaking about the products making all of us sick to the stuff, and I'm sick of the games, the freaking fake signs and fraudulent claims. I want to shake it all up, cause surely there's no team or any kind of machine that's really keeping food clean. Cause I don't consider food artificial crap in my food, and while I'm rapping at you, please don't crap in my food, cause that would be rude. But ain't it rude to exclude genetic engineering from the labels of your food? Talking about how is it I never found out the GMOs are all around, cause they don't make a sound. No, they don't come to your town and say,
listen people, this will drop your
jaw
to the ground.
Wait till you hear about what's in the food's DNA. If you don't take action and change, the chain reaction remains. And if we don't demand labels here in the USA, it won't be superpowers that we get when we mutate.
And I'd rather eat it whole, not refined but natural, the way you find it, how it grows. I'm aware that there are those who think that this is so ridiculous, but I'ma stick with it. It's so much.